So my name is Rick Glassman. I'm the litigation director at the Disability Law Center, and as many folks here probably know, we're a nonprofit public interest law firm representing people with disabilities, people of all kinds of disabilities on many, many different kinds of issues. All of our services are free of charge, and we're designated as the state protection and advocacy system, and so there's one of those types of organizations in every state in the country. And I've been on, or gotten on, a legal committee for our national network called the National Disability Rights Network. And as part of that work, have ended up in a conversation with other protection and advocacy attorneys around the country about Facebook, and specifically the accessibility barriers in Facebook. The conversation started because just about all of us are using Facebook, but just about all of us, I think all of us have policies that we don't use any kind of software that's not accessible in our programs. And so those two things seem like they're kind of inconsistent. And the conversation began just with, you know, should we be boycotting Facebook? Should we not be using it, even though many of our funders expect that we should? And then beyond that, the conversation began to expand into what can we do to learn more about the barriers in Facebook? What can we do as lawyers to help a national conversation about fixing those barriers, either with Facebook or supporting other lawyers in the field that are already advocating for it? And then also, at least one of our federal liaisons, our connection to one of the federal agencies that funds us, has begun talking with us about the question of Section 508 and whether the federal government really should be using Facebook at all. I was able to talk earlier in the week with Brian Charlson, who explained to me a little bit more about some of the technical issues around the barriers in Facebook. I'm not a JAWS user, as Jonathan is. There's a bit of a learning curve for me. But what I was interested in knowing about is some of the barriers that you all have experienced, how important you think the issue is, and that would help us figure out what we can do to be of use. Brian has connected me with the lawyer at ACB that is working on this issue, and he and I are going to be talking this coming week. And we're hoping that, you know, as a national network of civil rights lawyers working with people with disabilities, we can be of some help to ACB in trying to make Facebook more accessible.
Antonio Guimaraes. I'm using the mobile site on Facebook, and there are a lot of accessibility issues with the regular site that I don't even know about because I'm not using it. I think it's important to note that there are probably many issues that we end up avoiding and that we shouldn't have to by using the regular site.
Antonio, are you saying that you're not using the regular site because you know there are issues and the mobile site is easier?
Correct.
That's what people in my office told me as well, that the mobile site is of some help. But I understand there's still some applications in the mobile site that don't work particularly well. Has that been your experience?
Yeah. I may not like a certain program, but it does what I need it to do. So I wouldn't boycott Facebook on the basis of it's inaccessible, because there are other things that it offers. I don't know how effective that might be. The other thing about Facebook that I put out there is that a lot of other applications are accessing Facebook as a means to conduct their business. I think there's one called Viva. It's the YouTube of somebody else's sort of video content YouTube. They're using Facebook.
Vimeo? Yes.
And Facebook is also coming up with, and they've released a chat feature for Windows and are doing so for the Mac. So not only is Facebook site itself going to present accessibility issues, but whatever other products are using them will present some of the issues as well.
Now, this is Jerry with a comment. I use Facebook. I use Facebook Mobile. I use AIM. I use two different Facebook apps on the iPhone. And I use all those things because none of them work all that great. And so depending on what it is I want to do, I use different ones. One issue with the main Facebook program is that they're always changing it.
Yes.
They seem to have no inclination toward making sure that anything's accessible on Facebook. I think haphazardly some things on Facebook become accessible. I suspect that I miss way more than I actually catch as I'm reading through things on Facebook. Facebook Mobile is all links. There are no headings, so it's more difficult in general to navigate. But it is more accessible in one regard, in that you can find things and you can do more things more easily with it. But I think there are things you can't do on Facebook Mobile, and I can't name them right off the top of my head. There are lots of apps on Facebook that are not accessible and probably never will be by their very nature, because they're very visual. And I don't know that I would really push for insisting that all the apps on Facebook be accessible to us, because I don't think that's reasonable. I would push for the content of people's status updates being accessible and easily usable on Facebook? Because that could readily be achieved, and it hasn't been. Or if it has, it's been short-lived, because then they change it again, and it gets, every time they upgrade it, it gets worse.
I'm Jeanette, and I just started trying to teach myself Facebook and threw my hands up in the air. But I'll go back to it, because several of the main groups that I deal with primarily use Facebook for their content. And the second reason is that I have found in the job hunting websites that I use, more and more Facebook is where they're saying they'll update information. If nothing else, we need to really push to make sure that the text content updates can be more consistently available correctly.
This is Nika Pikula, and I found some of the same things that others here have been reporting, but I would add that not having access to Facebook or having sort of a haphazard experience that may work one day and not the other is kind of akin to blind people not being able to access telephone or radio or television, because Facebook is becoming so core to everything that we do. Any kind of new iPhone application or website, often instead of creating an account on that website, it'll use Facebook for authentication so that you don't have to set up an account to use ABC app. You would log in with your Facebook credentials, and others like Google and Twitter are doing this. But I don't think that Facebook has conscientiously addressed accessibility or partnered with the blind or disability community. One more thing that I've noticed recently, a regression, is on the iPhone app when you use Facebook Places to check in somewhere, which is kind of like Foursquare, you now cannot tag your friends using VoiceOver, and you used to be able to, so they must have made some change. And there could be other issues with tagging on the iOS app, but we didn't see Facebook at the CSUN conference, and you know, I'm just not sure what they're doing, and that we've gotten their attention enough. And I think your effort working with people will certainly get their attention.
This is Amy. I just want to make one comment. I had a Facebook account, and I gave it up. I didn't find Facebook to be terribly accessible, and I got very tired of the changing landscape. You know, you go one day, one thing's it's different. You know, nothing is where it used to be. But I also had a lot of privacy concerns, and one of the things that concerns me about Facebook is that they release more and more information, and if it's not accessible, even if you have a Facebook account, you may not know what private information you are circulating, because it may be very difficult to find those privacy settings that you need to change to protect yourself. But I'm very concerned about the privacy issues, and if those things are not made accessible so that people actually have choice as to what they allow Facebook to do, I have real concerns.
Amy, Antonio Guimaraes. I closed one Facebook account because of privacy, and I ended up opening it because of what Mika's saying, that it is sort of a utility these days.
Yeah.
I think what they're going to claim is that it's accessible. You can get to this stuff. What the disability community may have to go at is that accessibility and usability and how you define accessibility, because somebody looks and digs deep enough into their accessibility links, into their privacy links, they can probably find and change those things, but it's a matter of expertise and being patient enough to...
Well, it took me 25 minutes when I did it. I Googled and I found a couple of emails that told you how to make sure your privacy was set so that it restricted Facebook. My God, to find that stuff took forever.
From a strictly legal point of view, what case do you have to make them do something?
One of the issues that we've been thinking about is whether there are Section 508 theories that create barriers or problems for the federal government in using Facebook. That's not a way to deal with Facebook directly, but it's a way to deal with a kind of 900-pound gorilla, which is, you know, if the federal government shouldn't be using Facebook, maybe there's, you know, some handle there. Just looking at Facebook directly, I'm not sure it's, let's say, a place of public accommodation under the ADA. There are
a lot of such cases are brought in Massachusetts and California for our more favorable laws and not necessarily having to have a physical place of accommodation.
This is Steve Dresser. It seems to me, though, that you have kind of a dilemma with the federal government bringing pressure. I mean, it's not exactly like they can say we refuse to use this. And I think the other issue, perhaps, is that Facebook has kind of been sort of cavalier about the way they treat everything. Just privacy in general for them has been an uphill battle to get them to even recognize that there are privacy issues. They kind of seem to have the attitude of, that's what you say, but we don't really care. And I suspect that if the federal government says, we're going to boycott you, their response to that is, so fine, shoot yourself in the foot, see if we care.
First, I'd like to see a class action lawsuit against Facebook brought by 3/4 of people in this country over their privacy issues. I have friends that have never been on Facebook a day in their lives, and yet their names, addresses, phone numbers, and everything else are up there. Should be behind bars, no question about it. And unless you get ACB, to band together 100% solidly behind any accessibility issues with Facebook, you don't stand a chance legally, because this guy shouldn't be walking the streets. This company shouldn't be doing business for the way they steal privacy information completely unbeknown to people. And yet they are. Not only are they doing business, but they're being wonderfully rewarded on Wall Street for it. And now we're being forced to use Facebook to conduct business. That's wrong. And if it's going to be wrong, I'd like to see it made accessible, and I'd like to see, we shouldn't have to set privacy settings. They should be turned on by default. It should be up to us to say we want to share this information. I just want to say that unless both organizations band together 100% on this and make a huge stink, nothing's going to happen, because Steve Dresser is absolutely right. You're looking at arrogance that goes beyond all rational belief with this company.
That's Don Breida from New York.
Hi, this is Karen. I did have a Facebook account, and like many people before me have said, the changes are so frequent. You finally learn something, and the next day it changes. I only did what I could do, and even then it was frustrating. I haven't had a Facebook account for quite some time. My side friends will, how come you don't have one? I said, it's just too hard to navigate, and the accessibility stinks, and I agree wholeheartedly with getting the two organizations. Facebook is a big organization, and, you know, they'll just laugh in your face and say, we don't have to. We have so many other people behind us, and that's the sad thing right there.
That was Karen Santiago.
This is Deanne Elliott, and I'm wondering if perhaps you might be able to take an angle in your legislative approach by looking at employment opportunities for people with disabilities. My most recent employment was with a group called Employment Now Coalition, and I found just personally that we would want to do outreach, for instance, to youth, and the committee would have an idea that let's, you know, use Facebook to reach this market. And personally, as a blind person, although I have my Facebook account, I don't use it, I don't know how to use it. And that put me at something of a disadvantage, because I wasn't able to use it in my employment to accomplish the goals that the group was setting. So I'm wondering if it becomes an employment issue and that people with disabilities are not able to utilize that as a resource. Maybe.
I think that's the kind of legal hook that could be really helpful. And our office has a project in which we're looking generally at online employment applications, and I think the Attorney General's office is interested in that as well.
Not only in terms of online employment applications, but even once you are employed, using applications every day that are inaccessible.
State agencies that use Facebook in compliance with Mass General laws.
Well, the AG's office uses Facebook.
Yeah. I believe that the State Treasurer's office is just posted their 57,000, you know, unclaimed item list on Facebook.
One of the things I think that's problematic is that what I see now is that sometimes there'll be news stories or things that come out in the general media to which we do have access, and then the discussions continue on Facebook. And I have kids who are, or young adults. They don't communicate by phone. They don't communicate in person so much. They communicate on Facebook. So more and more, the kinds of discussions that happen in response to events, no matter what they are held on Facebook. It's become such an integral component of our communication that that's what really concerns me. What I'm seeing is that, I mean, you know, somebody who's as old as I am, you know, I'll be fine. For people who are just coming up, young people with disabilities who can't access Facebook easily and participate in those kinds of discussions and blogs and exchanges of information that are the fabric of how young people communicate are going to be really at tremendous disadvantage.
As technology is changing and code is being written differently now, more and more, and more, and in a much more advanced way, is the general trend to make overall technology, are you finding it to be more accessible, in essence, or less accessible because of new code being written?
I personally think it's no, because accessibility itself is a moving target, and it's never really defined. No, it's not as accessible.
No.
It's becoming less accessible.
Because the accessibility itself is not.
The other issue is that the amount of sophistication in code allows you to do so many things, and programming is by its nature kind of an anarchistic field. Programmers do what they want to because they can, and they very, very seldom stop to think about the effects. Something like accessibility is kind of a limiting, restricting, you've got to do it this way because if you don't do it this way, there are going to be 10 other people out there who will not be able to take advantage of what you're doing. I think for that reason as well, even if you could define it, every time you bring some new technique or some new methodology online to do something, you increase the potential for things just not being accessible.
My impression is that some of the new tools that get created that help people create websites quickly probably aren't as customizable as old-fashioned programming. And if they're not designed with accessibility in mind, the next time somebody updates a website using this new fast tool that may get things done quickly, you're going to have a less accessible website. I mean, I've been countless websites that used to work and don't later on, and they have to do some kind of retrofitting if they bother doing it at all. So
there's also a general lack of awareness of accessibility. We in the National Federation of the Blind have tried to get accessibility taught in college curriculum for computer science, but if you look at the world of business or education or even just people out on the street, most people don't even know that a blind person can use an iPhone or a computer.
Part of the problem is that just to buck that trend, you have the iPhone that Mika just referred to, which Apple has made accessible to us, and it's been revolutionary in a lot of ways. So I hate when people make these general blanket statements, because it just, you can always find an exception to it.
One of the things, too, to sort of add to what Steve was saying, is that the person actually doing coding very rarely calls the shots in some cases. The way it is, you know, these days, you're either working on a per-code basis, meaning you get paid for developing a certain amount of code, or you actually get paid on a flat-rate basis, where you have to have a certain amount of code written by a certain amount of time to get paid. So unless the person holding the purse strings is dictating a specific means of doing it, meaning you must make this accessible to this type of access method, they're probably not going to be able to do it, even if they are aware of that. And to go back to what Ted said, in the case of Apple, they have motivation to tell their programming staff that this item, when we create it, must be made accessible to this type of methodology.
But even with Apple, as wonderful as they have been, one of the problems is because they've changed the restrictions that they've put on developers, then I think we're seeing, you know, a lot of apps that are not accessible that could be, and it's accessibility is not a benchmark through which you have to jump to get your app accepted. You know, I was hopeful when the mobile platforms and, you know, the smartphones came out that maybe because they wouldn't have as much processing power that we would get, there was some speculation that we might get more text-based access, but because of the advent of more and more powerful processors, smaller computer chips, and better cameras, I think even the smartphones are becoming more visual media. Okay, Jeffrey, go ahead.
It's very important to me that you as an organization understand that when you use Facebook to reach your clientele, you're leaving us out. In the email that went out about this meeting in your presentation, it raised the question of whether or not access to Facebook was due to inexperience or lack of knowledge of using our screen reader. I assure you that you're in the presence of the power users of screen readers for the state. You're not going to talk to a group that knows more about screen readers than here.
Probably
and if we can't use it, yeah. You bet that nobody can. I do not advocate that you institute a boycott of Facebook because we have trouble with it. You've got other clients, the deaf, I don't know what other groups you serve, but because we can't use Facebook doesn't mean they can't. Because I can't see a picture, that doesn't mean that I advocate that nobody else look at pictures. It's just important you realize that when you're reaching out, you're only reaching out to part of your clientele when you use Facebook. On Twitter right now, there's an offer, 31% off a product, Facebook-only offer. Well, what does that do for us? If we can't use Facebook and there are exclusively Facebook offers out there, that's a civil rights issue. You know, for one thing, it's excluding people that don't have computers at all, but it's also excluding those of us that have computers that just can't use Facebook.
This is Jennifer Harnish. I want to talk just a bit about the question of, is it accessible? I often find I go on the site, I'm a casual user of it, and I question, is it not accessible to me because I don't haven't learned yet how to access certain parts of it. There was a training seminar that a number of people I know who are very skilled computer users didn't know how to access parts of Facebook. Then there's a 15-year-old in the room who's been using Facebook, and she jumps right in with a list of all the ways she accesses parts of Facebook that folks were saying are not accessible. So I think one thing careful to document is really getting a list together of what parts of Facebook are accessible, how are they accessible, what is required, whether it's iPhone, whether it's a mobile device, whether it's a laptop, whether it's a screen reader, and then the level of training that's required, where is that training? Is it available from Facebook? And yes, it's a moving target as Facebook changes, but you often get this, no, it's not accessible, but to really back it up with the lists of ways it is, and then the lists of ways it is not.
I know sighted people who don't have 1/100th of the computer knowledge that I have. And they can go on Facebook, and they don't have to learn a list of anything. I agree with you in some ways. I think there needs to be a list of what's accessible and what's not. But I also don't think you should have to go and get a college degree if you're a blind person to use it. If you have to learn a set of, 15,000 commands to do something, and they're only known by three people, and then you have to go to a special training course to use what's supposed to be a casual social medium, there's something, there's a real disconnect.
This issue of privacy settings is maybe the most promising area, because from what I've read in the newspapers, privacy settings aren't quote-unquote accessible to sighted people. So presumably, unless they have gone and fixed that since I read about all that brouhaha, this is an area where maybe, blind community always does better when it sides with the general public too on things that are bothering them. So sighted people can't really set their accessibility their privacy settings like they would like to, then maybe that's really the area that matters most. And that's definitely where, there are civil rights violations and the like of people using your information and you don't even know it.
This is Rose Miller. I am the least technology person in here. I went on Facebook yesterday and I was trying to reply to a message. I could not figure out how to stay on that spot to reply. So at the end, I had to have my daughter answer the person that sent me the Facebook thing. It's ridiculous that I had to do that because I should have been able to just hit reply and reply.
As a visual low vision user, I go on there to, I get emails, or you have messages and status updates. I go into the wall part, and the text is so much dimmer than the rest of everything else around it.
This has been very, very helpful, and we'll try to keep you posted on how our conversation with ACB and other folks nationally goes on this issue.